of Welsh history. Two drunk men telling tales of this land we call Wales. Lord George or Devi, I won. Mabin or Gion, and the story of Sue Ann from Wales. See England's S4C at Hinterland. Kofi O'Driver in a dick bang. Derek Bomb, a weird and dark. See O'Brien, forgotten folks whilst telling jokes. Dylan Thomas, Aberfan. Want Welsh history, then join our clan.
Croeso, and welcome to Tales of Wales, the pod that never fails to tell the real truth, yeah? None of this woke nonsense, yeah? Turn off now if you're easily offended, you snowflakes. Sorry, but we just say it how it is, yeah? We're proud to be British, we're sick of hiding it, yeah? No, Welsh not British, fuck them, dogs. Sorry.
Dogs.
Dogs, I think very I good. Love calling people dogs.
I didn't know where that was dog. Going. When we went, okay, 3, 2, 1, go. And then, yeah, out of the gate. Just, yeah, tell how it is, yeah.
Yeah. I did have to close the window because I've gone to my mum's house and I don't want to think I've gone to mad right-wing podcast.
All the locals going, oh, Chris Franks, his son's gone right-wing. He's gone mad.
Yeah, how are you, mate?
Good, mate, good. Yeah, I'm on can number...
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm on cloud nine. I'm absolutely chuffed to be here.
It's been blue sky thinking all day, you know, mate. No, but just on
that
can number...
Blue sky thinking, didn't that mean... What does blue sky thinking mean?
I don't really know. I think that's a classic corporate term. Yeah, it's a classic corporate term. I don't really know what it means.
It means to, like, find new ideas, I think.
Oh, mate, well, I'll tell you by close of play, yeah? Okay. So
very good
I hate those things. I remember when I first like started a proper job, like after uni, and everyone was flinging these fucking acronyms at me, and I was like, I'll never be a guy who uses those. But I hate that. Any AOB? It's like any is the first word of that. You don't say any AOB. Any
other
business.
And it's only one syllable AOB. More to say any other business rather than any AOB. It's probably the same.
Time is money, though, mate. Think how many meetings you have.
I never use it, but then I'll happily use BRB, WTF. I do love my
ASL on your Teams chat.
My Emma will sometimes say to me, oh, I'm AFK at the moment when she can't be on her phone, which means away from keyboard, which I think is the nerdiest one.
That was back. You used to use that on RuneScape, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Used
she loved AFK, RuneScape. Baby. Emma absolutely loved RuneScape. And you wouldn't think that if you looked at her, would you? She's like a very girly girl. And
yeah,
she's
you
like...
wouldn't think she was an absolute nerdlinger.
No,
like
I know. I used to love RuneScape. It was class.
Oh, I got bored of it quite quickly, if I remember. Just because it was like, you've leveled up whatever you're smithing. You can make a super duper sword. And it's like, but you can't mine them or whatever you need for it. And it's just like, you know what? Stop putting these hurdles in front of me.
I took like 4 days off school, which ended to be sick, and I played it like nonstop. And I absolutely loved it. I think I told on the pod before when I used to scam people out of their stuff, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we discovered that before. I did the same thing.
I think so.
The Habbo Hotel.
But that was for young children, wasn't it?
The den of pedos. Yeah, that was just me trying to get a fling. No, but that was when I was a child. So if anything, I'd be a target. But little did those pedos know.
I was playing a scam.
I was playing a scam the whole time. I used to say, it was really obvious as well in hindsight. I used to say, oh my God, type your password in and it comes up like this. And I just used to type QWERTY. And then someone would be like, John 616. And I'd be like, right, I got his username already. I'll log into his account. And any furniture he had in his little Bebo room, Habbo hotel room, I'd gift it to me. So that I was like, mate, I had loads of shit in my Habbo hotel.
What did you even do on Habbo hotel? I thought it was just like a room where you walk around in. Did you make your own
rooms? Well, everyone had like on the free tier, you just have your own room, right? And you had to buy... furniture for it, but obviously I wasn't going to do that. I was a child. I had no access to direct debits or anything, so I just used to scam all the nonsense on it. I assume everyone bar me on it was a pedo.
But it was a more gentle time for nonsense back then. It's like Habbo hotel nonsense.
Certainly
were kind of
certainly easier for nonces back then because there was absolutely no security.
I think I was probably like chatted up by creeps online, but you didn't have there was no webcam or anything, so it was all kind of it was harmless nonsense.
You didn't mind
them.
Did you? You spent yeah. just a bit of a chat, just something to pass the time.
Yeah, it's one extra friend I got, really.
Yeah.
Before we start properly, we just have to address the elephant in the room that last week's guest, Jake. He, after the call, he said that it's important that I bring this up. That he said that
I know what you're gonna say. Yeah.
He said that I sound like a big fat cunt or a big fat autistic cunt on the episode. Yeah. But in reality, what did he say? I did actually write it down. He said, "I'm a handsome hunk who worked out."
Yeah, he did. So,
and he said he thought I was Jack and Jack was me, and he thought that. He said, I don't come across as a hunk, and it's important that everybody knows that I am.
Yes.
So please, please, please remember just, that I'm actually a dish.
I recall because you said something like, after you went, you said, how does it feel that I'm the hunk? And I said, yeah, but you did say you sounded like a fat fuck. So it was like, would you rather, you know, everyone think you're a pedo, but you're not? And, you know, that old chestnut.
That old quandary. Also, I'm not,
I'm not a pedo. No,
I'm just not a hunk, but I'm not also, I think I sound worse than I look. So
don't do yourself a disservice, mate.
Yeah, mega hunk. So that's the important thing. I've actually wrote that down as my first note to bring up on the pod.
Our most liked photo on Insta, mate, isn't me and you for no reason. Do you know what I mean? A couple of fucking stunners.
I know. Although it's not our most liked, but it's up there.
All right, take the wind out myself.
Sorry, I am
I was defending you,
boring.
And me.
I don't know why I did that. There's no need for me to do that.
Actually, maybe we're not as attractive as you think. So,
no, luckily my personality is awful, so that would take away from any sort of like bonus.
Luckily, we have a like barely coherent podcast on the go, so that's like where our real value is. Yeah,
and also, I gotta say this. I want you know, like me and Nina. I think we save stuff that we would normally say in real life, but we save it for the pod, don't we? And I was going to tell you the day. So on the weekend, my mate Sean came over and we had a proper nerd day where we played Time Splitters 2, watched old WrestleManias and just drunk all day.
Sounds like a dream.
Oh, it was. It was really fun. And but when we were there, he's married to a Polish lady and his mother-in-law can't speak a word of English. And Sean's Polish isn't really that great. When Sean goes to Poland, you know, they don't have a huge amount of conversation. So it's a lot of like visuals and just, you know, like smiles and things like that. But by text, the only way they communicate is in massive like boomer GIFs. So she would just send him loads of like bears saying like, I love you. Things like this. And really, really like ridiculously like proper Facebook boomer style. And the other day I said, Sean, why have you, what is this? Because I saw his phone and it was just loads of back and forth mad gifts. And he was like, well, I don't know Polish and she didn't know English. So we try and find things that explain what we're feeling in a gif or like a big boom.
The universal language of the gif. I like
exactly.
That,
and he had some like mad ones. The day and I was like, what's this for? He went, well, I can't really tell, but I just checked and she sent it to me last year and I just googled it and apparently it's National Son-in-Law Day, so that's why.
So specific.
Yeah, but it's so funny that their entire phone history, he showed me, he scrolled for like months and months and all it ever is like a bear holding a balloon shaped like a love heart.
Not an actual word shared between them.
Yeah. A gift speaks a thousand words.
Kind of beautiful in a way.
That's what I thought.
I had something I've written down as well. I was texting. I think it was definitely Andy. I can't remember when it was though. So when Frank was having this belter of weekend with our friend Sean, I had reneged on going to that because I had a weekend to myself for the first time in ages. So I thought I'm just gonna like add Movie Fest 2K.
And you love a weekend to yourself, don't you?
I haven't had one for a while. So I was like, I was invited, but I said, I knew Franco knows the value of a weekend to yourself as well. Yeah. So I was like, you'll understand when I say no, it's not personal. I just need this. So it was on the Friday or something, I think it was. And I knew Andy had been out or something like that. Saturday morning. So I texted him and said, oh, I was the Friday. He said, yeah, it was really good. Yeah. I said, oh, did you have a big sesh? And he said, no, it was fine. Just, he said, oh, we just had 10 beers. And I was like, oh, the old quiet 10. just a quiet
the old 10 and drive.
The old 10 in bed, like, you know. And I thought, I said only in like our group of friends would be like, was it a biggie? Nah, just 10 beers, 10 pints.
It's really confronting when, because me, our partners don't drink massively, do they? So like when you see, like, so Emma went out to town the other night and she had like 4 drinks the entire night. And like, and I'm not, me and you would have 4 drinks in the first hour, wouldn't we?
Wouldn't touch, yeah. We'd barely touch the sides.
Yeah. Oh, horrible word. I hate that saying. Because I never know what sides it means. It's like, is it your ass? Is
you
it,
know. Is it... You know full well.
Well, do you want to... do we have some shout-outs for the Patreon and stuff? I'm sure...
We do. We've got one of our... I think it's our latest Taylor member. A lovely lad named Carwin Griffiths.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
So he's he's one of our latest Taylor producers. So a shout out to Carwin Griffiths. Cheers for joining Taylor, buddy. I'm trying in my hardest right now to think of something funny about Carwin Griffiths.
Carwin is like white car in English, isn't it? Win, white. Yeah. Car. So maybe we could call him White Car. That's good banter. God. Isn't it?
Okay, sorry, Karen. If you can stand a slam like that, mate, stick around.
Hey, White Car, did you get that car so white, mate? why do we try and attack Carwin when he's just kind
of... Oh, no, it's not attacking. It's, no, you know, it's we try and make like a gentle ribbing, or we make like a pun, don't we?
Oh, so, how about this then? Because I've been trying to practice that the longest place name in Wales, so I can dedicate this to Cadwyn. Ready. Sian fan bod gwyngell gael gerych yn drobodd llant astudio go go goch.
Very nice. Very nice. Perfect. Sian fan bod gwyngell gael
gerych yn drobodd... Oh no, stumbled then. Sian fan bod gwyngell gael gerych yn drobodd llant astudio go go goch.
That's right. Sian fan bod gwyngell gael gerych yn drobodd llant astudio go go goch.
Because it sounds like... Yeah. Sian fan bod gwyngell gael gerych yn drobodd llant astudio go go goch. I was saying it to myself. I'm not very good at like all the pronunciations of Welsh words. I find they're all that.
Yeah,
bit
especially
difficult.
When you have to put a little bit of the old Welsh accent on them.
Yeah,
maybe more than
But I was saying it to myself every single day while I was walking the dog, and I was just like walking around the bay going,
I was
going to
say, looking like an absolute psychopath going down there. Like you're muttering in tongues or something. Eyes rolled back into your head, you're like holding baby Bo up.
I as you get older, like if we got any younger listeners, and if you like think you worry about like how people look at you and stuff, you generally as you get older give such less of a fuck. And we're not even that old, you know, we're still like early 30s, but I now know I just more than happy to mutter to myself as I walk around the bay, just saying Shambad Bukung, walking my tiny dog.
I used to when I first moved here. Free, I'd go nip to the shop. It'd be like, oh, I've got to change. But I've got to go into my jeans, put an actual t-shirt on. Now I go out in just my full-on slob clothes, my civvies, if you will. Oh, yeah, I don't give a shit if people in co-op. Because then I think you're in a local co-op as well. You've got, you know better than me.
I mean, these sound like two separate things. I meant more that I was happy to just be myself. You're like, I could just be a slob.
That is myself. What are you on about?
Very fair. Yeah. Yeah. It's more self, my lord. So, Carwin, maybe now you donate to the Patreon.
You can afford to repaint your car from white.
If you want to be a winner, like Carwin. You can also donate to the podcast. I'm so sorry. I wish we knew better stuff at promoting the podcast and what
Carwin,
we should do.
Come back to us when you have like a more punnable name, mate. Okay.
Yeah. Carwin the Pooh. Is that
anything? That in reference? Yeah, but what's that in reference to? Like, you can't just say things. And then...
Yep, pretty sure that's worth every penny.
We we'll go with that one. So a big shout out to Cadwinnie the Pooh Griffiths.
Winner, Cadwin dinner.
Oh, that's much better. I actually like that.
I like the name Cadwin an awful lot.
Yeah.
So Diane Cadwin for having your name is that.
So take that with you. Yeah. So cheers, Cadwin. Yeah. The latest Taylor producer on the Tales for Wales family.
Yeah, diolch yn fawr. Oh, is it Taylor, was he as well?
He's the a top tier.
Top tier boy. Trousers. Diolch yn fawr, Carwin. Well, should we move on to today's epi?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, that's me, isn't it? So I'll continue from here.
You are such a weird man.
I was double checking that he actually was Tailey, because I was like, have I fucked that up? I knew I hadn't, but it's fine anyway.
I knew I hadn't,
because I'm so sure of myself. Anyway, sorry, yeah, it's my go today. And today I'm going to be talking about a guy called Edward Williams, better known by his bardic name of Iolo Morgannwg.
He
was an expert collector of medieval Welsh literature. And was seen as a bit of an expert in general of all things Welsh antiques, poetry, artifacts, you name it. He was born in 1747, and he lived to see the age of 79 before he died in 1826.
Sorry, give me a second. Nerd.
Is it in 1827? Am I right? Sorry, we'll cut that. Well, no. Maybe not. Who knows? Yeah,
that's staying right in.
Anyway, back to it. So he had a pretty big impact on Druidism and how Welsh history was perceived by the historic community. But little did they know at the time, old Iolo, he was prone to telling a few porkies here and there. But I'll get back to that later, just to show you the sort of gravitas of his lies. So I'll bring it back to the start. Iolo was born in 1747, and I'm going to refer to him as Iolo Morgannwg as opposed to his birth name. So he was born in 1747 in a place called Pen On in the Vale of Glamorgan. And he was raised in a village called Flemingston, or Treflemin in Welsh. It's actually not far from where I'm from, St. Athan. He started his work in life following his father's footsteps as a stonemason. But he always had a keen interest in literature and poetry. So by 1773, he had moved to London, where a friend introduced him to the city's Welsh literary community called the Gwynedigion Society. And he was also a member of the Cymbreigyddion, Cymbreigyddion Society, which was a Welsh social, cultural, and debating group.
Can I add something here? So do you know, like, I listened to other podcasts explain this better, but I thought it'd be good to, you know, that's another way of absorbing knowledge. But one of the theories about why Welsh identity isn't so well known in places like America or in, like, parts of Europe and stuff, is because when the Scots, like, migrated to Canada or America, they took a lot of their own people and didn't really assimilate in the same way. They kept their own traditions. They had their own clubs. Yeah. They had their own rugby. They had, you know, they were known as, you know, Scots abroad. And, like, same with the Irish. Like, when the Irish went to New York and places like that, they stayed in their Irish communities and they didn't assimilate in the same way.
Yeah.
Whereas when the Welsh went away, they don't go in great numbers. So they're not a huge country anyway. So when we go places, they're much more keen to just assimilate into the places. So
we did the Patagonia episode, and that's one of the few examples where we actually sort of stuck a bit more.
But there was no one there except for the natives.
That's it, yeah, because it was just them, wasn't it? Yeah.
Acrid, dry land. But, like, so when we went, lots of Welsh people went to Pennsylvania and Scranton.
That's right.
And there's a bit of a Welsh community there, mostly from the mining stuff. But when we go to places like New York and Washington and other places where lots of Welsh people migrated to, Chicago, we didn't really keep that Welsh identity because there wasn't so many people. But weirdly, London has a great Welsh community. And I think if we'd have done that in other places, Wales would have a bigger, like, platform.
Definitely.
But it did that well in London. So you have things like the London Welsh, and you've got these communities there that thrived.
Well, I was just about to say, I liked when I was reading about this, that even in the 1700s, there was in a time where I would consider Welsh was kind of a bit under attack, you know?
Yeah.
There was at least two societies, Welsh-based societies, that this guy was part of.
It does feel a bit surprising, doesn't it, when Welsh nationalism was at its probably lowest.
Yeah, and it was, you know, you had things like the Welsh Knot around that time, and, like, things that were active campaigns to, like, suppress Welsh nationalism, if anything. It felt very strange to me reading that he had two societies in London that he could be a part of. But anyway, so old Iolo, he stayed in London for 4 years, and then he came back to Wales where he got married. He tried his hand at farming for a few years, I do quite find it quite funny that all the sources I read about this all agreed that he was really shit at farming, and so he gave up. So it's like, it's not just someone's anecdotal evidence. Yeah. Someone's went, no, it's fact. He was crap at it. So after he failed at farming, it wasn't too long after this that his literary career started taking off. How very fortunate. What great timing, you might think. More about that later. So, little sizzle reel for you there.
I knew the word sizzle reel was coming.
I love sizzle reel. I love it.
Yeah. Someone, I think one of the listeners, Reese, did say before, to quote Jack, a sizzle reel for you, or a spoiler alert, or something like that, because it's parlance now.
I'm glad you didn't say you went, stop saying fucking sizzle reel.
Oh, no, no, fully on board of it.
Thank God for that. I still got some uses in me. So, Yolla, he had always been, as I said, a keen collector of literature and poetry and things like that, and especially of medieval manuscripts and pieces of Welsh history. But his first bit of fame in literary circles came about in 1789, when he found a hitherto unknown collection of poems written by Dafydd ap Gwilym, who was a famous poet from the 14th century. This find was very big in Welsh historical and literary circles, as you can imagine, and it put Iolo Morgannwg on the map within the upper echelons of those circles. Little did these boffins know, the entire collection of Dafydd ap Gwilym's work was a complete forgery, and Iolo had written it entirely himself. Nevertheless, his newfound respect led him to return to London in 1791, where he founded what was called the Gorsedd, which is a community of Welsh bards, still around today, apparently. It was then that Iolo wrote some of his own poetry in a two-volume work called Poems, Lyric and Pastoral, which was very well received by the people who loved poetry and shit back then. Iolo worked alongside Owen Jones and William Owen Pugh, who were two highly respected antiquarians, on a collection of ancient literature called the Myverian Archaeology of Wales. The three-volume collection was published by them between 1801 and 1807 and relied heavily on Iolo's wide collection of works, almost all of which were, again, completely forged. And the bits that weren't forged, that were based on like real manuscripts, he'd actually altered them to better fit what he believed was the correct version of historic events in Wales. So these two actual historians teamed up with this guy and created a whole three volumes of work based on bollocks, basically. Iolo Morgannwg essentially was convinced that Welsh Druids and Druidic practices had survived the Roman conquest, the conversion to Christianity in Britain, Edward I's destruction of bards in Wales, and all other adversities through history. Unfortunately, there was absolutely no proof of this, which is why he forged his manuscripts and altered legitimate ones to suggest that this was the case. So he was like a diehard believer in that these druidic practices had survived, despite there being no evidence at all. So instead of like just accepting that there wasn't evidence of this, he decided to make his own, which is why he decided to forge all these things. It is worth mentioning as well that Iolo was addicted to laudanum at the time, so that might go like a certain
what's laudanum?
Way. It was like an addictive substance at the time. Let me just double check what that is.
It sounds a bit like it'd be kind of sort of like early heroin.
Laudanum was a mixture of opium and high proof alcohol. Sounds great.
Yeah, and opium is heroin. So
yeah, super addictive. So he was he was high as a kite a lot of this time. So
that
it might
kind
go.
Of gay.
Yeah, like it might go a little way to explain why he was so fast and loose with his forgeries.
If you Google it, it looks like such 1800s. Like it comes in a little glass bottle with like a skull and crossbones on it.
Yeah, it can only be good for you, surely. So, in 1826, then Iolo Morgannwg died, but his little lies would go on to do further damage to Welsh historians.
But can I just jump in? Isn't it true that the Druids survived all that though?
We don't know what the Druids did as like ceremonies and as, you know, what was the Druid alphabet, for example.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know any of that.
But he's made it all up.
He made it all up, right? And I'll get into in a minute what sort of how that badly that affected like the historian community. So as I said, he died in 1826. And not long after his death, some of his collections were compiled into a book called the Iolo Manuscripts by his son, who he named Taliesin, actually, after the famous poet of the 6th century. This book was used by many scholars and translators over the years and was even used by Lady Charlotte Guest. Now, Charlotte Guest was the first person to ever print a complete version of the Mabinogion, which was a big deal. Yeah. Luckily, she only used Yola's material for one story, because if she used it for more than that, it would basically the whole thing would have been bollocks. So the Bardd-Vas, which is a book detailing Welsh Druidic theology and practices, was also compiled from his work. This was considered to be a modern tome of these ancient traditions and the most detailed account of the ancient cosmology of Wales. Once again, all total bullshit this is. So, like, people who actually believe in this shit.
How much of the world do you think has just been written by liars?
Well, this is it, mate. It was, I was thinking, Christ, how do you know the authenticity of anything? You know, especially when it's from so long ago. So other works then, including something called the Druid Prayer, which is still used by neo-Druidic groups today, and a book called the Cyfrinach Beirdd Ynni Prydain, or The Mystery of the Bards of the Isle of Britain, as well as a book of hymns derived from his manuscripts in inverted commas called... As well as a book of hymns derived from his manuscripts in inverted commas called Salmai yr Eglwys yn yr Anialwch, or Psalms of the Church of the Wilderness. So all these works were all based on his thing. So a lot of time and energy from, you know, professional scholars was put into developing a series, you know, all these different books and meant to be like fonts of knowledge for future generations. And they're all based on his work that was bollocks, basically. So this is another thing, as I mentioned earlier, Iolo also discovered, or sorry, he said rediscovered, the Druidic alphabet, known as the Coil Brenna Beirdd in Welsh. This was completely made up, just utterly made up. But again, people have based like works and their sort of, their life's works and deductions and things like that on these things. So yeah, as I said, loads of scholars and intellectuals based their life's work on these completely fabricated sources that Iolo had made until the 19th century, when a guy named John Morris Jones was one of the first to suggest that Iolo Morgannwg was a forger and a charlatan, stating that, quote, "It would be an age before our history and literature are clean of the traces of his dirty fingers."
Scoundrel.
Absolute slam. Then after World War One, another scholar, Griffith John Williams, was the first to make a full study into Iolo's work to uncover its authenticity. He studied the original documents that had been donated to the Library of Wales by Iolo's descendants and aimed to find out if and how much of his work was legitimate. The ratios weren't good, spoiler alert. So there was only a handful of pieces that were actually legitimate historical artifacts, like unaltered and everything. And some historians had said that the poems he wrote in London back in the day that I mentioned earlier, they were his only genuine bits of work.
And they were fucking shite.
And they were fucking shite. Oh, they were actually well received, but like that's the only bit of genuine work.
Well, maybe what he's done here is just true poetry.
Oh yeah, that's it. We shouldn't judge him.
Yeah.
he's done something very good. So Iolo Morgannwg's forgeries were so prolific that to this day, some tampered versions of old stories are actually better known than the originals. So like certain...
they say we're in the era of misinformation now. If he had Twitter, he'd be a fucking menace.
Mm. Mate, yeah. I was thinking the exact same thing. If he had the power of social media, he'd be unstoppable, Iolo Morgannwg. But yeah, so there's a few like stories of the Mabinogion that I wouldn't doubt. I didn't look into it, but I wouldn't doubt that we've probably spouted a few of his versions rather than the originals. The reason I actually picked Iolo Morgannwg was because in my research, if you know, we did the Welsh mythology for the Welsh gods list.
Yeah, the gods.
The gods of Wales. Yeah. I was actually, when I was looking at research into that, I watched a YouTube video and it was a historian talking about Welsh historical sources and mythology and everything like that, and he actually went on a slight tangent about Iolo Morgannwg, and he said that a friend he had in the same field said that Iolo Morgannwg was the Hitler of Welsh history, which is
rewriting it.
Yeah, I feel like that seems like a harsh comparison.
Well, I think he means because he like Hitler bit in the books, didn't he?
Yeah,
so, like yeah.
I think what my mind jumped to was the whole concentration camp thing. I was like, I didn't read about that in the Wikipedia article. So.
But didn't you go to Yon Organog School?
Yes, I was just about to say, his legacy now is one of the few things is a primary school in Cowbridge called Yon Organog, or Ysgol Gynradd Yon Organog, which is the primary school I went to. And I just think,
mad. Why did they change
after doing
it?
I did, after doing this research, I was thinking, why did you name it after him? Yeah. By this point, by the time the school was established, it was clear he was a liar. Yeah. You know, why would you go, oh, legend? I just loved his gumption.
Yeah, that's mad. A place where it's all based on education and truth and
the lesson I learned from going here was lie and lie some more. That's all I learned. But yeah, so that is his legacy. Is he has a school in Cowbridge named after him, and there's a plaque where he used to sell books in his hometown, and it's something like the plaque was originally read something that, you know, that was quite nice about like how his effect on history.
Yeah.
But since the everything came out, they had to do a new plaque, and it just says he sold books here.
it's like what they must do with like loads of Jimmy Savile stuff, because you know you like they made loads of wings after Jimmy Savile because he donated so much to charity.
It's like Amy was saying, she saw Lost Prophets play in Ponty in the Park.
Yeah.
And because they were from Ponty, they erected like these stones in honour of Lost Prophets. And obviously when the allegations came out about, what's his name? Bloody Ian
the
Watkins,
lead singer, Ian Watkins.
Being a nonce. They had to just they ripped all the stones out because obviously you can't keep them there. Similar thing. I wouldn't say he's quite at the same level as a nonce, but
Hitler
of history, you might say.
Yeah, that is so mad that they went, oh, we'll name the school after this fucking liar.
A place of education and truth. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, if he had Twitter or X these days, he'd be a fucking menace.
Yeah, he would. There'd be a lot of fucking GB news things being
shown. Oh, he'd definitely be a pundit on there, wouldn't he? But yeah,
so that's the tale of Yolo.
Yolo McGarnock, he's another, I think he's not quite as bad as Dick Penderyn, but he's definitely one of the dicks of Welsh history,
I'd say. Yeah, but I do like him. I love fucking chances. And he's like, I don't want to be a stonemason like my dad. That's far too much work. I can't be a farmer. That's too much work. But I can be a good liar.
I love the age. Smashing rocks. I've got fucking hell, this is hard. Doing some farm. Fuck now. Like, why don't I just make something up on these like antiques?
Yeah,
these
and old... no one can be asked to check a book to see if I'm right.
I just like as well when on the altered ones, like this old thing from say like the 15th century, a Taliesin poem. Has he just like drawn a line with an ink and quill through one bit and went, no, this is the bit that's actually real.
Yeah, or he did that thing where you dip tea bags in water and you dump
like
you dip it on your
in
paper.
History lesson,
you found a pirate's note.
I found an old medieval scroll in my back garden. You'll never believe it.
It's got your mum's lighter to like burn the edges.
Yeah. Well, it must be old. Look, it's stained brown. It must be.
All right, should we wrap it up? Because I'm desperate for a wee, and we've got another episode. Diolch yn gwrando. We should start asking for reviews again. If you haven't dropped a review already, please do, because they're always really helpful. And we love you forever. Goodbye.
Yeah, ta-da, ta-da.